Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We normally play a lot of video game music, but for this week we are interviewing Claire Fitch, an Irish composer who's made a lot of video game music for various games over the years. We'll be talking to her about her experiences and what games she's worked with. Hope you enjoy! So, with us in the studio today, we have Claire Fitch. Hello, Claire.
Hey, David. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's great to be here.
You're very welcome. It's good to have you here. So, would you like to introduce yourself for the audience? You've made a lot of game music yourself.
Yeah, I've been running a game audio company for the last 10 years called Fitch Sounds. And basically, I've managed to produce audio, be it music, sound effects or dialogue for video games for over the last 10 years, working a lot of the Irish games, working for a lot of the Irish games developers.
Oh, that's brilliant. So you work with many games. There's the Yo Frankie Nano Quest, and of course one Irish game project I have experience with, Camelot Galway.
Yes, I think that's actually how we met.
Yes.
You reminded me earlier, it was actually 2004, so it's a few years ago now. I had to dig around to find the music for that, but it was great memories from that game. Really enjoyed it. And Yo Frankie was part of a game that was for Blender Institute. That was really good fun to work on. Again, lots of sound effects, lots of music. And NanoQuest was for a company up in the north, Candu Interactive. And that was for a 4FUS game, basically about nanotechnology. So NanoQuest was that. And there were voices and music involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there have been other games as well.
Oh yes, over the time, there's been a fair few games. I think the most recent was for Black Market Games, and it was published by Big Fish, and it's called Dead Hungry Diner.
Awesome. So, how did you get interested in music and video games in the first place?
Wow, that's a big historical question for me. I have played games since I was a kid. We had the original Pong in our house, and we would carry on playing, and then Pac-Man, the handheld tabletop, and we played games for entertainment even before I started playing music. And when we got our ZX Spectrum 81, mm-hmm. I used to enjoy playing Manic Miner, and I specifically remember the theme for that. So that was great fun. I used to play, I learned how to play the piano. I used to play the theme for that on the piano, much to my parents. They used to play it all the time. It was great fun. So, been playing games since I was a kid. And when I went on to music college, I carried on playing games. And the passion for the two has never subsided. I still play games now. I'm a gamer, definitely. And when I was thinking about trying to produce music with music technology, the first thing that sprung to mind was game soundtracks. And so I really started investigating how this was going to work and how I could produce music and sound effects for games.
Oh, nice. So obviously both video games and music, go very early back.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they really do. They really do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So did you, when you went into like video game music, were you like pursuing music to go into games or games to go into music? Or was it just that you just had two loves and you were just concerned with just combining the two?
Yes, I absolutely had two loves of producing music and gaming. And I knew that if I was going to use music technology, then the best thing for me was to go towards the games side of things. Because my inner geek wanted to be involved in the computers. And, it was probably back in 2002, 2003. And I just knew that this was the area that was going to be keeping my brain occupied. That's why I went followed the gaming passion.
Okay, so how exactly did you get into the game music? I mean, I've looked up a lot the history of a lot of composers, and there doesn't seem to be a single trend. So
there isn't a single trend. There really isn't. For my behalf, was I actually decided I would like to do this, and then I contacted game developers. That was actually how I did it. Sent an email off, and I was just lucky. because I actually had some music and some demo tracks. I think that's always very important for people, mm-hmm. To produce some demo tracks, and sent these off to some potential employers, mm-hmm. and they liked them. And that first one for me was Kapuki, and they were in Talbot Street in Dublin, above a tattoo parlour. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant fun going over there, and so that was my first entry into the game industry.
Okay, I think I remember how Kapuki's first game went.
it was big
Top Circus, something like that.
Yes, that I was involved in the game after that, which was called Eureka. And that was basically an educational game that was part of, I think it was school.ie, and it was something that was funded by Intel.
So you got lucky with this, and but just out of curiosity, how did you learn to like compose music in the first place?
Basically, when you are studying music, you get taught the skills of how to listen to how various parts of music are made up. You get to learn what the themes are and how to recognize something, and then how to write that. You get taught harmony. You get taught how to write various lines for various instruments. And then because you're taught to listen, and that's the biggest thing about any audio is listening, because you get taught to listen really, really deeply, you can identify what you need to do to create a certain sound. So I'd been through this already at college, since I was about 15 or 16 onwards, with constant ear tests, listening, writing, harmony, counterpoint. You're put through the mill. You are taught. So by the time I picked up the computer with that and added the computer skills, the music technology, I was ready to go into the technical skills then.
Brilliant. So you had it was from very early on, and then the college course just really helped.
Yes, it was a standard music education basically. So you kind of taught very, very early on to play an instrument. My specialism was the cello, and this led me to a lot of orchestral playing. So you know, you're constantly listening to a lot of music as well. And by this stage, if you think about all the first-person shooter games, they're mostly big orchestral scores. So, you know, if somebody comes to you and asks for a big score, because I was working in that sphere, in the orchestral sphere, I could hear and suddenly grasp the styles that these people wanted. And that was the case with the Kapuki game, actually. It was a big Russian-sounding orchestral score.
Brilliant. Okay, so of course that game got released. Unfortunately, that big top circus game didn't release. Kapuki unfortunately went bankrupt. But you were able to get other opportunities because of that project, right?
Yes, absolutely. Through that project, I met the producer, Tony Kelly, and he was working with Intel because they were producing Eureka. And his next project was with Talk Interactive, and they produced Dreadnought, and I was the composer invited to work on that with them, which that became a tech demo for AMD, and that was released as well. So really exciting times, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I remember Dreadnought. It was a shortish game, but a fun little game where you're basically terrorists had taken over some great big ship, and then you had to go in there and throw enemies around and all this sort of stuff.
Yes, it was great. It was really, really good.
And after you did the great music for the Dreadnought demo, I believe that's when you did work on Camelot Galway. That's where we met.
That's exactly it. That's where we met in Galway, yeah. And Camelot Galway was a completely different game, very much more a sweeter sounding score than I had to produce for Dreadnought. But I really, really enjoyed producing it. That's the thing about composing music, is that you produce in many styles and you really don't know what you're going to be asked to do. And that, for me, is half the fun, actually. Mm-hmm.
Great. I think we'll just play some of that great Camelot Galway music right now. that is a great piece of music. As I said, I was working on Camelot Galway myself. It was a Galway game development company called Starcave Studios, and the idea was to make a 3D virtual tour of Galway set in medieval times based on a map that was drawn around about back then. But I mean, tell me, what exactly is it like to make a video game, make video game music? I mean, is there a process? I mean, what exactly do you do? What's it like?
Well, to start off with, honestly, it's down to the developer, what they want. So they would normally send over a few graphics and a brief. They would tell me what they want. They might even have some temp tracks that they've been listening to. So they'd say, well, you know, as in the case for Camelot Galway, actually, is we want it to sound like Zelda. So, you know, you actually had to go and have a knowledge of a body of work that had gone before so that you could bring that style in. And then you just have to work on the style, basically. You're usually given a set amount of music to produce, be it a minute or 2 minutes, that then has to loop. If this is a theme anyway, and sometimes you're asked to produce stuff that could be environmental sound, which could be gameplay backgrounds. Because if you were listening to a full-on theme, you wouldn't be able to play a game while you were listening to that, because it'd be too distracting, you know. So there are different elements that we have to find out what it is exactly the developer wants, whether it's a theme, whether it's the background, and then you work from there, basically. You just literally have to work it up.
So basically figure out what's being asked for and just do your best.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, like you mentioned looping. Now, in my mind, looping is pretty, you know, looping music that repeats itself is one of the trickiest parts, because there are a lot of great songs everyone knows out there. But if they heard them more than two or three times in a row, they'd start getting a little annoyed.
Exactly.
But with video games, creating a piece of music that has to play, you know, like 20, 30 times in a single play session is pretty much, in many games, mandatory.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tricky because sometimes, and I've found this, I've worked on one of my games that I worked on. I discovered the first loop that I produced, it was for the Year Frankie, actually. I put too much percussion, too much kind of hit sounds within the music, and it really interacted with the effects. It really, you know, if somebody was walking around the map actually interacting themselves, I couldn't guarantee when they were going to hit a certain tree or whether they were going to pick up a sheep, and there'd be an extra noise adding into the music. And it really got in the way. So you have to really, it becomes an underscore that you're composing. You're not actually composing a full-blown, you know, four-to-the-floor type beat that you would hear if you're listening to a radio show or a piece of music. It really is something that is not going to get in the way.
Okay, so it's cool. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned Yo Frankie there. That was an attempt. There's this thing called the Blender Institute, which has this free open source 3D modeler. And in the past, they've tried to expand its capabilities by making various different movies using, you know, 3D animated movies using the modeler, 3D modeler. And this was their first attempt, Project Apricot, at actually making video games.
Exactly. I think they were hot on the heels of Big Book Bunny, and
that was a short animated movie about, you know, like kind of like all these furry creatures going around.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And so they decided they were going to go and make the game, and I was approached, basically, would I like to play, you know, to work with this. And it was really good fun. I created a lot of the sound effects, all of the music, and some, you know, gobbledygook dialogue, basically. Had to just record words and mess with them. And it was quite a long process, because I think there were two different games made of it. Crystal Space was the first one, and we really changed then to go into the Blender engine. It was really interesting to do, and I appreciate it, really going through all the process, definitely.
Cool. So let's play a bit of music from that game. And by the way, an interesting thing about this music, because this music and the game was produced under a Creative Commons license, it means that anyone can copy it, redistribute it, and I think even remix it for their own purposes.
Yes, absolutely. I think that was part of the agreement, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of the, it's the same philosophy that was followed in a lot of other Blender's productions, as well as the, well, anyway, let's just play the music. Thank you. So that was two pieces of music from Yo Frankie. And as you can see, the challenge of getting a piece of music that will loop and not get on your nerves is quite a challenge, but one you certainly were up for. So how exactly, are there any other challenges? Is video game music different from like making music for like a film and other productions in any way?
Yes, actually. I mean, because you can go through various game states when you can be generally walking around, checking stuff out, and then you might want to bring in another piece of music or another part that might be introduced. Say if you rounded a corner and something was there that shouldn't be there, like a baddie or something, or somebody's about to shoot at you. I think when the game state changes, then the music changes, and that is the difference between film music and game music, that it really is interactive and non-linear in a way that film music is linear.
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of clever ways that video games have adapted to it. Even certain games like Space Channel 5, the music will start playing more portly, you know, and misaligned the more badly you do in the game.
Exactly, and this really is an effect in a lot of the games that you'd play. It's really important that you take note of this, and that you can add various lines and various parts to the music. Basically, you instead of, maybe sometimes you might provide an entire mix, but you can break these down into different stems, and that's what you tend to do, is that you can provide each part separately so that the game engine can add in the parts as necessary.
Okay, so are there any like tricks of the trade and like techniques you have to use and stuff?
Well, basically, when you're working in your audio software, it's really important to create each line separately. I mean, this is kind of normal in composition, but you just keep everything separate. You might have strings in one part, your drums in another part, if you're using those instruments. It's just keep everything separated.
So it's like you might have a loop of strings going on, and then suddenly you play at the same time another loop of drums synchronized.
Yes, exactly.
So it sounds like you're playing this like 5 minute melody of a gradual build up.
Yes.
You get a lot of different items.
Yeah.
It's pretty clever. Yeah, definitely. And of course, games music gets constantly overlooked in video games, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, some people will actually play with the sound turned down, which I think is kind of weird, because, you know, when you're trying to be immersed into a world, then, I mean, if you're seeing anything and you have the sound turned down, then truthfully, half of that world is then missing. You know, the joy and the real, you know, the thrill of something is not knowing when something is coming. But you might be able to hear a rustle behind a corner or something knocking on the door or something. Mm-hmm. It is the sound that makes the impact as well as the vision. And the two together, that's what brings immersion.
That's brilliant. So you sound like you really do enjoy all this. You really do enjoy this.
Oh, absolutely. This is a passion. This is an absolute passion for me. You know, computer games and music together it's my dream. It really is. And I honestly have been carrying on for this. I've been working at this for the last 10 years. And I mean, for me now to pass this on is really, really good. Recently, I've started lecturing at Clane College, and they have a great game design course. And they've asked me to come on board to lecture in game audio. And I'm only too willing to share, because I think it's really important. It really is an essential part to gaming.
Definitely. And I mean, like, we've been talking about music, but like, even in your most recent game, you didn't even create any actual music for it.
No, the most recent game was Dead Hungry Diner, and I was basically contracted to provide the dialogue, so record voice actors, and some of which I did myself as well, because they wanted a female, a banshee. I had to do a bit of screaming. And and also produce some sound effects. The one with them was a bat wing flapping, which I managed to create finding a bit of chamois leather and flapping that in front of a microphone, and obviously doing a lot of things to it. But you know, there's a lot of fun to be had in creating sound effects and recording voiceovers, and you really it really is as creative as music creation. The last game I did was there was no music involved for me at all. There was another composer involved.
Okay, so what advice would you have for people who are maybe interested in video game music creation composition?
Basically, I would say start networking big time. You need to meet the actual developers, and then maybe try and find out if there are any spaces where some mods are being worked on. Within the educational sphere, there's usually a fair amount being worked on right now. So I would go and find some mods and get involved, basically. The action events as well. There might be a weekend game jam. You know, quite often people set themselves a target to create a game. I think there was one recently in Trinity where you would go and spend a weekend making a game. And usually it's probably programmers and designers that go on these. You know, there's very few sound people that would be involved. So, and also going to this introduces the fact that the sound needs to be thought about. Sometimes it gets left behind. It only gets introduced right at the end. So it's really good to, you know, to talk about it with the people that are making the games, who are developing them and have the ideas, because then you can get involved very early on as well. It just is something that it's important. So go and meet the people that are making the games.
Okay. Speaking of jams, I believe there's a Dublin Game Craft coming up, which is, you know, hyper-accelerated game development in a small pace of time. And as we were discussing earlier in terms of networking, there's also gamedevelopers.ie.
Exactly. That has been a fantastic place. I think there are, you know, most of the people that are making games in Dublin and around Ireland will turn up to their shindigs and have done over the last 10 years. Big hats off to the people that set that up. Africa was just instrumental in that, you know, and a lot of my friends within the games industry would be part of that website. So yes, gamedevelopers.ie is a very, very valuable resource.
Cool. Yeah, it's helped me a huge amount in a lot of stuff that I've been doing as well.
Exactly.
Definitely gamedevelopers.ie, a lot of great stuff there, and great way to meet up with people. And so I suppose, as we are drawing a bit to the close, what do you think the future of video game music will be?
The future can only get brighter, I think. Basically, I think the interaction aspect and the continued non-linearity aspect will carry on. I think, you know, with the Kinect and all of the possibilities that are coming with that, I can't wait to see what is happening. Interactivity is it for me, using controllers that you decide when you the gamer decides is going to be a challenge for us sound designers, definitely.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of interesting stuff and cool challenges coming up in video game music. I was going to finish out the show with some music, more music from Camelot Galway, but we also have some music from another game you worked on, NanoQuest.
Yes, NanoQuest was a game produced by Can Do Interactive, and it was a great fun game, actually. Not only did I have to produce the music and some sound effects, but again had to record some dialogue again in English and Irish, which was great for me because I didn't speak Irish, so it was pretty tricky to find out whether the pronunciations were right. It was for Forfus, and it was a game that I think ended up in every school in Ireland, basically, talking about nanotechnology. It was great.
It was great, yeah, definitely. It was a game really to get people interested in nanotechnology, such as the stuff that was being worked on in Trinity College in the Science Gallery. So we'll play some of that music and then finish up with some Camelot Galway music. So, Claire Fitch, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you all for listening. This has been David Collins with BitNote. If you'd like to follow BitNote, we have a Twitter feed and podcasts and episode downloads online on the DublinSouthFM.ie website. So this has been David Collins with Pitnote, and also with Claire Fitch, game music composer. Thank you very much for listening.